Dan Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Schools and businesses around Maine are closed today as law enforcement searches for a mass shooter responsible for killing 18 people last night in Lewiston. State Police Colonel William Ross.
He should be considered armed and dangerous. Based on our investigation, we believe this is someone that should not be approached.
Maryland authorities say the man accused of killing a Washington County judge is dead.
The Washington County community can breathe a little easier this afternoon. Murder suspect Pedro Argate was located deceased.
Sheriff Brian Albert says he killed himself in some nearby woods. And Israel is getting closer to launching a ground offensive against Hamas in Gaza. CBS's Deborah Patta has more.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says preparations for a ground invasion into Gaza are underway, although he cannot say exactly when it will happen. But overnight, there was an Israeli military raid into the Palestinian enclave.
CBS News Brief.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan says the U.S. House is set to take up a security package aimed to help the people of Israel and Gaza.
That has a lot of money for both security for Israel as well as humanitarian aid for Gaza.
Pocan tells Civic Media's Devil's Advocate show that the election of a new speaker could speed up that aid and prevent a government shutdown. School district superintendents in Wisconsin in the future might not have to be licensed with the State Department of Public Instruction. The Assembly's Education Committee takes up that bill today. The committee is also taking public input on several bills relating to Native American students, including standards for teaching Native American studies and rules for wearing traditional tribal garments at school functions. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. New details have surfaced about the man fatally shot by Germantown police at Kennedy Middle School this week. According to his family, he's identified as Kevin Foy of Lake Villa, Illinois, and was a military veteran who had served two tours in Afghanistan. Foy had come to Germantown to collect items from an auction, and investigators stated there was no known connection between him and the town or the school where the incident took place. Advocate Aurora is settling a data breach lawsuit by agreeing to pay over $12 million. The lawsuit alleges that Aurora installed a tracking technology on its website, app, and portal to understand patient needs and preferences, but ended up exposing the personal information of about 2.5 million patients without their consent. As a result, affected patients may receive up to $50 as part of the settlement. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Packers getting ready for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Vikings Sunday at noon, but they'll be missing some key players. Safety Darnell Savage placed on IR with a calf injury. Eric Stokes back on injured reserve after pulling a hamstring Sunday in Denver. It was his first game back in nearly a year.
Man, just, I can't believe it. Like, I done worried 11 and a half months just to get back to where I was at. I can't believe any of this. Like, I just have no words.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight for the season opener. James Harden finally showed up to practice in Philly, but will not be playing in the game in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Giannis celebrates his 11th season with the Bucks and was asked what it all means.
The Milwaukee Bucks organization, they've been there with me since the beginning. They changed my life. They changed my family life. My kids were born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, my mom is here enjoying her life. My dad spent a couple of years here before he passed away. And for that, I can't turn my back.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 61. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow, 65. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. And before I get to this segment, I'm going to go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Thanks, as always, for the show, Matt. I really appreciate your thoroughness and your level of details. I wanted to comment on, I believe it was Wisco Paul was saying in the last hour that that this Mike Johnson has the ear of Trump. I really would encourage people to go beyond that, if not just the ear. He is, it's not even like he's Trump's puppet or he's Trump's shadow Trump. It is now Trump's house. What he wants to have happen will happen, and it's going to happen through Mike Johnson. He was described by other people as MAGA Mike. That ought to tell you something. He was on Trump's impeachment team. During the impeachment team, he was on Trump's legal team. And then you have outlined some of the other things he was doing in terms of election denying. I think when we look at this, it is so much bigger than just people want to hang on to their seats within the Republican Party. I think there was money that passed hands, and I think there was blackmail that happened. And I think that there's a huge, big cauldron there that nobody wants to open up, which is why when Trump is saying, I will keep the lid on this, basically, you re-elect me. So he's going to do his darndest by hook or by crook and state by state with the various 400 laws that Republicans have introduced to try to cut down across the country, to try to cut down on access to people voting in a sane and reasonable way, that it's being done by design. He wants to go back in. He wants to go back in to be president because that's the only way that he gets out from under not only this legal morass, but also what he owes the Russians. And I mean, he didn't keep all those documents just for fun and giggles. There was a reason why he kept all those documents in all those many boxes that have been shuttled here and there. It is Trump's house now, and this is a step backwards that has happened with this guy, Mike Johnson, because he's going to do whatever it takes to keep Trump in power. Thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Yeah, no, those are excellent, excellent comments, which I totally agree with. And the eye-opener for me, when I first looked at this guy, I thought, well, sort of a Scott Walker-looking guy, but, you know, who knows what's going on behind his in his mind. But the more detail I looked at, which you're right, he was part of Trump's impeachment defense. He also, he was the main name, the only name on the brief supporting the Texas Attorney General trying to overcome Wisconsin's votes. It said Mike Johnson and 100 others or whatever. He was the main guy. He is a backroom operative of Trump. And everything you've just said is right. And in addition to that, suddenly I see this thing where he's attacking the FBI, saying that Musk was right and stripping away any kind of verification of who's posting on X any kind of verification other than paying some money. And it's not because he wants China, Russia, and Iran to post, although they will, but it's because so much of the false information, especially that Putin didn't interfere in the last election. Remember, violence, chaos, and fraud. Those are the three things the Republicans are trying to sow. It's the only way they can stay in power. Violence, of course, is January 6th, but it's also Trump's threats against witnesses to demoralize them and against jurors and against judges. Number two, chaos, which is throw things absolutely into chaos if you can't win. But fraud, and this is where this guy comes in, fraud is what's going to happen when you have a speaker in Nancy Pelosi's chair the next time there's an election that Biden wins, but it's kind of a close margin. So thank you very, very much. We're going to keep going back to the lines. Don't hang up. I'll take you in order. Bob and Madison, you're next. What's in your mind today, Bob?
Okay, well, it's kind of simple this time, but I think I want to get that Ukraine aid through. And I think with guys like McFaul, the Republican who chairs the Foreign Affairs Committee being solidly for Ukraine aid, and probably several people in that committee, and in group moderate groups like the Problem Solvers Caucus or whatever, all you have to get is five people to work with the Democrats, and you can dump the current speaker and reinstate your speaker of choice, like Emmer, say, or someone more moderate and reasonable. Because Emmer was okay on Ukraine aid, and he was not an election denier, though he was on the Texas lawsuit. So he's not. There aren't any good people there, but you got to go for the least worst.
Yeah, Bob, thank you. And, you know, Bob, you have a very good command of the facts because that is true. But one of the problems was when Emmer realizes he was short, he did not reach out to Hakeem Jeffries and say, give me eight votes. People like Emmers and the rest of them, if they did that, Trump would threaten him with a primary. And we had a speaker named Foley in the early 90s, a Democrat, who was beaten in a primary. Actually, I think he was beaten in a general election by a Republican when the Republicans all ganged up on him. So even Speaker Emmer, for a short period of time, would worry. I love your thinking. I hope it works. But what the 5 or 10 or more moderate Republicans could do is sign on to a discharge petition to at least get the aid on the floor, and then it would pass. Thanks so much, Bob. But Jack at Merrimack, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Jack?
Well, this is a very, very bad situation. Obviously, Donald Trump has become a kingmaker for the Republicans. And what's even more frightening about that is what would happen under a Trump administration. They couldn't get through a speaker that would not get Trump's approval. And that's crazy because he's just so extreme. I wouldn't even call him right wing. I'd call him almost fascist. And the Republicans unilaterally voted for him. Yes, there were a few, I'm sure, that were afraid of being primary. There also have to be some that are concerned because they were in districts that Biden won. We cannot let Donald Trump take over the presidency. It would be a horror show.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad we're airing this out now because there's still time. And I want to see what this guy does. I know what his instincts are. They're quite bad. But having said that, even with bad instincts on Ukraine, let me give you an example. I'm adamant about Ukraine aid. Mitch McConnell and Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries will sit down with him. Remember, he's in the Gang of Eight. So the Gang of Eight is the top two Republicans in the House and the Senate and the top two Republicans, in the House and in the Senate. So there's eight of them. And he's going to hear from Senate Republicans saying, you can't abandon Zelensky right now in that country. You can't let, you gave a nice speech about how bad Russia was when it was communist. It still is. It doesn't call itself communist. It's mafia, but it's just as bad. And especially now, and when we get to the Ukraine segment, if we get to it today, I'm going to talk about some particulars, but especially if this rumor about Putin is true and they're going to make a regime change. And I'm not, I have not verified it. I'm passing it on because it's circulating right now. But even whether that's true or not, Ukraine is doing a magnificent job. We've got to stick with them. And he's going to hear from McFaul, the guy who's the head of the committee chairman in the House, who armed services, who is going to absolutely want Ukraine aid. And he's got to say, we're going to do some Ukraine aid. And if Trump doesn't like it, I don't think Trump is going to go after Mike Johnson if he gives him other stuff he wants. Thanks a lot for calling, Jack. Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Gary?
Hey, Matt. Hey, I knew nothing about this Mike Johnson. And I watched MSNBC this morning, and Mika was on, and she was, like, almost tearing up, talking about how bad he is. Well, if she thinks he's bad, then it's good for the Republicans. But I don't know enough about him. And all your callers are sitting there whining and crying. Give the guy a chance before you guys are ready to hang him and get rid of him. So that's my opinion on that. Now, but I do want to ask you a question on, as far as, well, I think I'll skip that question because I'll ask that another day.
All right, well, thanks for the comment, Gary, because, and just so everybody knows, Gary of Sussex is a Republican, but he's a principled Republican. And I enjoy having him call on my shows over time. And he, frankly, has some points to make, and I like to respond to him. So I'm going to respond to this one right now. Gary, you're absolutely right that so far, Mike Johnson hasn't done things that we've talked about yet, but he has in the past. And the past is a prelude to the future. Now, you're absolutely right. Give him a chance. And there is part of me that says that Mitch McConnell and McFaul, Mike McFaul, whatever the guy's name is from Texas, you know, there are some hawks in the Republican caucus who will say, look, you're not going to abandon Ukraine. And I think I don't see Donald Trump knifing Mike Johnson the first day on the job because he crossed him on Ukraine. I may be wrong. And the other thing is on the budget, he's not going to shut down the government. You say, well, let's see. A way to shut it down, a sneaky way, is just give it such a big haircut that violates the Biden-McCarthy deal that people have no choice but to vote against it. And he shrugs and he says, okay, let's shut it down. One of the things to keep in mind when I talk about chaos, people like Jim Jordan wanted to shut the government down. They wanted our Marines and Navy people not to be paid because they thought that would look bad for Biden. They don't give a rat's patoot about this country. But some do, like Liz Cheney, like Adam Kinzinger, and probably a guy like Mike McPhail and the other ones. And so let's see. I agree with you, let's see. But it would be very naive to say, okay, you know, this all seashells and balloons and everything is fine, because it is not. I'm very concerned about this guy and his past performance. If he can have his attitude adjusted now, that's great. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
It's rivalry week as Carroll University football travels to Kenosha to play the Firebirds of Carthage for the old Musket Trophy this Saturday, October 28th. The Pioneers earned the Musket the last 2 years with a win could bring it home to Waukesha for the third year in a row. Catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Carroll at Carthage for one of the oldest rivalries this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2782. Now go right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Chris from Sun Prairie, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Chris?
Hi. I just heard your call talking about giving this guy a chance that just got to head up the Congress there. And you were also agreeing with him somewhat. I totally disagree. My understanding is he's like one of the main architects of the elector stealing thing. So I don't think so. You know, I mean, if he was trying to undermine our last election, I'm not really thrilled about him being in any position of power. I mean, I'm glad, I guess, that there's somebody in there, but not somebody like him. You know, Republicans, you have to do better. You really do. Send better people. Send people that really believe in the Constitution. You really need to do better. So that's what I have to say if there's anybody listening, because this guy is, you know, part of something that tried to overturn our elections, which is undemocratic.
Right. No, that's an excellent comment. Just so you know, Chris, I don't know when you tuned in, but for a big part of the show already, a number of callers and I generated the discussion pointed out what an election denier he was. That he was the chief architect of the congressional support for that Texas case trying to change Wisconsin's votes. He's a he's on Trump's Joe Madison pointed out he was on Trump's impeachment defense team. I pointed out that he attacked the FBI, and this guy is bad news. The problem is he's a speaker, and I think what Gary of Sussex was, and Gary's a Republican, so I don't know if Gary knows much about him at all. But what Gary was saying is, why don't we see what the guy does? And my response was, he's already done bad things. But sure, yeah, I have no choice. I got to wait to see what he does. But no, we don't want him. But he's in there, unfortunately. So what's he going to do about Ukraine aid? Can Mitch McConnell and Mike McFaul and the other ones in the Republican caucus who are sane on the issue get to him? I'm hoping so. He'll be terrible in everything else. There's no question he'll be terrible in everything else. And the thing that bothers me the most is, what is he going to do when he's in Nancy Pelosi's chair after the 2024 election? And we went through in the prior segment a lot of things he can do to twist the election to Trump. There's no way we want him. But the point is, let's start out and see what he does, because we have no choice. Thanks a lot, Chris. Please call more often. John of Wisconsin, my friend. Thanks, John of Wisconsin, thanks for calling. What's your mind, John?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I want to comment on a couple things. Number one, I don't have no problem with President Biden being in there, but there is one thing that I have a problem with. We've got millions of people coming through that border, and how they got Israel, where they snuck into their country and killed and raped and cut their heads off and everything. I wish that Biden would just think a little bit and at least monitor those people that he's letting come in. I'm watching them come in by the thousands, and ain't nobody saying nothing to them.
Okay, John, that's a very legitimate statement. I'm glad you called, and I invite you to call frequently in the future. And we're talking about immigration. And the fact of the matter is that we want immigration. We want legal immigration. We don't want illegal immigration. And right now, there's been an impasse in Congress, and Congress, quite frankly, is stymied and hasn't passed legislation. And so as a result, you have these border agents who are magnificent people trying to stem the tide, trying to treat people humanely. And, you're right. It's going to be a significant campaign issue in 2024. I think Joe Biden understands that. And I think that's an issue that is on a lot of people's minds. And I'm glad you called in on it. Call in more frequently. Kurt in Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's in your mind today, Kurt?
Hey, I'm speechless, but I'm going to do my best here. Gary said, well, let's just give him a chance. We don't know what he's done. Well, I would urge Gary to watch the footage of the way he handled himself on the floor. If he was interviewing for a job within a company and they watched his behavior of how he was questioning someone, they would never hire him.
Right.
And it may be a poor and listen in behavior. He acts like his stink. And he...
Okay, you went on hold for some reason, Kurt. That was not our idea. I don't know how that happened, but I think that, I don't know if we can unhold them or not. Apparently not. We're having some issues. But Kurt, I want you to call in more often. And I also want to commend this. When people call in, we're an hour and a half into this show. It's a two-hour show. And for an hour and a half, I've outlined the parade of horribles about this guy. The point I'm making is I can't remove him right now lawfully. And so the question is, where do we go from here? I couldn't agree with you more. You've had many other callers call in and make the same point. Joe Madison made it. Everyone makes it. This guy has done, he's an election denier. He is, and he has illegally, in my view, tried to overturn the election. He was for the fake electors. He was for the fake electors. He's attacked the FBI. Butter looks like it wouldn't melt in his mouth. I think this guy, I said, still water runs deep. He's terrible. He's terrible. I've said that for an hour and a half, and so have all my callers. The point, Gary of Sussex is a Republican, so he wants to give him a chance. We have no choice. You know, I could say, Hakeem Jeffries, why don't you call the chair vacant, which Hakeem can do under that new rule, and they'd vote again and it'd be identical. So we are talking about Ukraine aid. We're not talking about the salvation of the House. We're in a very bad way. I agree with it. But I think, and I'm glad that you feel as badly as you do about what Gary said and the rest. Because great, but at some point, this is the reality school, and the reality school is that how are we going to handle this guy lawfully? How are we going to handle this guy? It's terrible. We all agree. Thanks a lot for calling, Kurt, and do it more often. I'm very sorry that we've had some tech issues today. I had to do the first part of the show on my cell phone. So call again, all right? Billy of Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Billy of Madison?
Hey, Matt. This is Todd or Billy. How are you?
Oh, Todd or Billy. They only put Billy this time. It's my friend Todd or Billy. What's
on
your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Hey, I just wanted to, you know, I hear all this criticism of Mike Johnson, and I just wanted to pass on the GOP's rebuttal to all the criticism of the new speaker. Are you ready for it?
Let's go. Give him hell. You got 2 minutes.
It goes like this. Shut up. Shut up. That's their response, apparently, to the criticism of their speaker. So,
right, you know, Billy, Tutter Billy, that's great. Yeah, what happened was Rachel Scott, because we did this in the first segment. Rachel Scott goes to him and says, "What about your shutting down the government?" And what they go, "Shut up!" That's exactly what they said. All the Democrats, the Republicans, they laughed, they booed. These people know that they have a Trump guy who will overturn the next election. That is my fear. So in the short run, we've got to watch and see what he does with the budget and Ukraine. But in the long run, this is a threat to the nation. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I'm not your stepping stone.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers are tinkering with plans for state funding for American Family Field. While the bill passed the Assembly with bipartisan support last week, WisPolitics reports it does not have enough support from Republicans yet to pass the Senate. One of the ideas is to increase payments from the Brewers to lower the state's $411 million share. Some fear the Brewers could leave Wisconsin without a deal. Weather experts say climate change is making October nights in the Midwest feel warmer more often than not. A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970. In Milwaukee and Madison, it's closer to 4 degrees. Scientists say mosquitoes are thriving and people with respiratory issues like asthma are suffering. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The man who was killed by Germantown police at Kennedy Middle School has been identified as Kevin Foy from Lake Villa, Illinois. That's according to his family. His brother says he was a veteran dealing with mental health issues and had served 2 tours in Afghanistan. He reportedly came to Germantown to pick up auction items when his truck broke down. He then called his brother for help, but by the time his brother arrived, police had surrounded the middle school. Foy was reported to have acted erratically at an auto repair business before climbing onto the school's roof and shooting at police. The Wauwatosa School District is contemplating the potential closure of Jefferson and/or Washington Elementary School due to budget concerns and rising building costs. Leaders say the discussions are in their early stages, and the superintendent is stressing that no decisions have been made about closures as of yet. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Packers getting ready for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Vikings Sunday at noon, but they'll be missing some key players. Safety Darnell Savage placed on IR with a calf injury. Eric Stokes back on injured reserve after pulling a hamstring Sunday in Denver. It was his first game back in nearly a year.
Man, just, I can't believe it. Like, I don't worry 11 and a half months just to get back to where I was at. I can't believe any of this. Like, I just have no words.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight for the season opener. James Harden finally showed up to practice in Philly, but will not be playing in the game in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Giannis celebrates his 11th season with the Bucks and was asked what it all means.
The Milwaukee Bucks organization, they've been there with me since the beginning. They changed my life. They changed my family life. My kids were born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, my mom is here enjoying her life. My dad spent a couple of years here before he passed away. And for that, I can't turn my back.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 61. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow, 65. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Right to the lines, Curtis of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling, Curtis. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. If
if we go and vote 2024 and we get the House, then he'll lose the speakership, won't he?
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah, we get the House January 3rd. They get sworn in or whatever the first business day is after the New Year's. And we would elect Hakeem Jeffries as speaker that afternoon. Absolutely. If we win the House, this all goes away. The problem with our winning the House, Curtis, is that right now there are states like Texas, like Florida and others that are making criminalizing voting in some cases, making people uncertain, trying to drive down. In this state, they're trying to take Megan Wolf out of the Wisconsin Election Commission executive position so they can put in a Gableman type of guy who will give, frankly, false or, you know, unclear advice to, there's thousands of clerks, you know, there are only 72 counties, but there are clerks in all these townships and they call all the time and they want to know, what about this and what about that? And if you have a Gableman type of guy in there who misleads them and lies to them, that's the problem. This is going on all over the country. Violence, chaos, and fraud. The violence is Trump threatening witnesses and threatening clerks and all this. But the chaos and the fraud are these. I mean, Texas has passed a state law that hasn't been overturned yet that says in only one county in the state, Houston, that's, I think it's Harris County, biggest county in the state, the major Democratic county in the state, if the election, if the Secretary of State, who's a crook, by the way, down there, if the Secretary of State has reason to believe that there was some irregularity in the election, it gets done again, a do-over, the only one in the state. That's so clearly unconstitutional. So clearly unconstitutional. And that's the kind of stuff they did. Down in Florida, they've criminalized voting for people who had felony convictions, even though they put their time in. The Republican Supreme Court reinstated a criminal sanction. And then they go around and they intimidate minority communities and they drive the turnout down by 4%. That's all they want to do. Drive the turnout down by 4.5%. In Georgia, they passed a law that says if you give anything to anybody who's standing in line, it's a crime. Pregnant woman, 8 months pregnant, faints. She needs water. You can't do anything for her. You have to call the ambulance and take her away. This is unbelievable. And these things have not yet been overturned by judges. So Georgia was supposedly a swing state. Wisconsin is a swing state. They don't dare pull the criminal stuff here that they did down there. But what they are doing is trying to interfere with the administration of the elections by taking away good administrators, Megan Wolf. They've even threatened to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. They're using their gerrymandered majority, their almost veto-proof majority, to throw a monkey wrench in the elections. All they want is chaos. If you get chaos, I mean, look, it used to be the Republican Party would distribute flyers in the inner city in Milwaukee, and it would say, be sure to vote next Wednesday. Well, the election was Tuesday, but people are misled. You know, people who don't listen to these kinds of shows. They would go up and down the lines, which you're not supposed to do real close to the polling thing, and saying, you ever been convicted of a crime? If you're convicted of a misdemeanor, you can still vote. But they don't differentiate. And a lot of people leave the line. Or they hear about it and they go, I don't want to be insulted. I don't want to be insulted. The Republican Party doesn't try to get out the vote. The Republican Party tries to keep out the vote. They don't have a GOTV operation. They have a KOTV operation. We've got to understand that. And so, yes, if we win, that's great. But with gerrymandered seats here, unless it's overturned, the two shots we have are the third and the first, Van Orden and Stile. We have some terrific candidates in the third. Van Orden is covered with mud. We might be able to flip that. I think we may. In the first, I'm not familiar with our candidates, but I'm sure we'll have good ones. And Stile is just an errand boy. an errand boy for Trump and errand boy for the Republican Party. And so we talk about taking the House back. We should. We certainly should with New York and California, blue districts, Biden districts that went for the Republicans. But we got a lot of work to do. Adam of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Madison? Or Adam, I should say.
Hi, Matt.
Of Madison.
Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, is there enough congressional elections coming up in November to take over the House, or do we have to wait till 2024?
Okay, it's a good question. And Adam's question is, are there any elections 2 weeks from now, basically, this November, that could make a difference? The answer is no. The House of Representatives is up every 2 years, on even-numbered years, and on the same date by Act of Congress. So the whole House is going to be up in November of 24. The Senate is up in staggered six-year terms. There's 100 senators, so 33 of them are up this year, 33 be up 2 years later, not this year, by 2024. 33 will be up 2026, and then the 34 will be up 2028. Sometimes there are off-year elections. Virginia's one and New Jersey, but they're not federal, they're state. So there's nothing we can do, except if a congressman dies or retires, yes, then there will be an election. And right now we're a few short. I think there's one congressman who is quite ill and he retired, but it's a Republican district. And there are occasionally some who pass away, sadly. But thank you for calling. Randall LaPortage, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Randall?
Hi, I'm calling about the caller who mentioned immigration, thousands of immigrants coming across the border.
Right.
They're being detained. There's 5,000 to 8,000 immigrants. They're not running into the states. They're being detained. They're being sent back on planes to Venezuela and elsewhere. What we have is really a refugee problem. I wish the Congress would, instead of contorting asylum seekers, they should just treat them as refugees. And we need people to work. How many companies are screaming, we don't have workers? Give these people green cards. They pay taxes. They'll fund the budget.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Randall. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it very much. I want to get to another topic while we can this segment. And this is unbelievable to me, but it has just come out. I think the New York Times reported it, that Clarence Thomas received a $267,000 loan to buy an SUV in 1999. And he wrote a handwritten note on Supreme Court letterhead. This is a wealthy guy, a conservative, that gave it to him. Said he would repay it in 5 years. That's 2004. In 2004, it was extended to 2014. The New York Times just found out that, in fact, it got, quote, forgiven, end quote, in 2008. It was never disclosed. It was required to be disclosed. And the issue arises, did he pay taxes on it? I doubt it very seriously. This is a very serious matter. We have a justice. I refer to them as the six tarantulas. But three of them have essentially taken money. And then Clarence Thomas's wife, Ginny, has taken money from very wealthy people, from billionaires, and not disclosed it, and it shows up in their opinions. This is a bribe. This is a bribe. We are now in 2023, so for a quarter of a century, since 1999, and there may have been some before, Clarence Thomas and his wife have habitually taken large sums of money. They've had the tuition paid for one of their relatives. His mother's house was, quote, bought, end quote, and she stays in it rent free, and they repair it, and they repair the roof and all of this. He's flown on private jets. Ginny is paid large amounts of money to, quote, consult, end quote, and it's not clear what she's consulting on. This is a Supreme Court justice. When a case comes before Clarence Thomas that any of these people that have given him money have an opinion on how it should come out, it comes out that way. Gorsuch took money. He has a crummy fishing shack in Colorado, or he did. And I'm not talking Aspen or, you know, Vail or Beaver Creek or something like that. He couldn't sell it. The minute that he was appointed to the Supreme Court, the head of one of the largest law firms in the country said, boy, I'd really like to buy that cabin. And he made $500,000 on it. Look, Alito has been flown around on fancy trips. They do not have a code of ethics. They refuse to have a code of ethics. Congress is working on legislation to impose a code of ethics, and they say Congress, under separation of powers, can't do it. They're the only branch of government, the only judicial branch of government, that has no code of ethics. Court of Appeals judges do, trial judges do, state judges do. They don't. They take the opinion under in Marbury v. Madison in 1803 that they can overrule acts of Congress and the executive, but the Congress and the executive can't overrule them. They're taking the position that they can take money because there's no code of ethics, and they won't permit a code of ethics, and they won't criticize this. You know, in Russia, they have a court system. Most authoritarian governments pretend to mimic democracy, so they have a court system. So somebody like Navalny, the great protester over there, or the Wall Street Journal reporter, Gershkovich, they go there in front of the judge, and they don't have a jury. The judge looks at them intently, listening, taking notes. But he got a call in his chambers from how it has to turn out, and it always turns out that way. And then what happens is Navalny or Gershkovich appeal. And they appeal, they're brief. So, and the judges sit there and stroke their chins. But they get the call in the chambers. And if they don't do what Putin says, they or their family will go to jail. In this country, we have Russian judges. They've been bribed. They're on the Supreme Court. And all the legal scholars go, oh, this such and such a case, the Dobbs case and all this kind of thing. I wonder how they will vote. You shouldn't have to wonder how they will vote. Look at the bribes they were given. Clarence Thomas was the deciding vote 5-4 to get rid of Roe v. Wade. That was a 5-4 vote. Upholding the Mississippi statute was 6-3, but getting rid of Roe v. Wade was 5-4. Citizens United, he was 5-4. Getting rid of the Voting Rights Act, initially, he was 5-4. We have a bribed judge that's been doing this. And now another bribe has come out, $267,000 in a fake loan. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Shaw, WAUK. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to leave you with this. You may think, and I did it one time, how can an ideology, say Donald Trump's ideology of destroying democracy, somehow run through a society like electricity through water? How can that happen? How can it be dismantled so easily? His attacks on democracy. Ukraine is a good example. For the average person in the Republican Party who's a Reagan Republican, they should want to stand up to the Russians. For 5% of our defense budget, we have a magnificent country, Ukraine, that is taking down our biggest adversary. And yet a lot of them, slavishly like this Mike Johnson, are opposed to giving them aid. It's because Donald Trump is servile to Russia. He owes their oligarchs hundreds of millions of dollars. And not only that, there's the coprophile video in the Moscow hotel room, and he is petrified that that will ever come out. But I kept wondering, even with all of that, that's obvious to me, it should be obvious to Mike Johnson, it should be obvious to everybody else, how is it possible that it could so instantly infect an entire political party? And I want to tell you about a family friend of ours named Dieter Gruen. And when he told me what happened to him, I suddenly realized how this happens. Dieter Gruen is a gentleman who's 100 years old. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he'll be 101. Distinguished chemist. He is a grad student. Was brought by his professor to Oak Ridge in Tennessee to work on the trigger system for the atom bomb. He's a wonderful guy. And he told me about his background. Dieter Gruen was born in Germany in 1922. His father was principal of a school and well-regarded. Dieter was a good student. In 1932, he was 11. I think he was in the fifth grade. He had a lot of friends among his classmates. And Adolf Hitler became chancellor. His father, because Dieter Gruen, his family were Jewish, his father was fired from his job because all Jews were thrown out of any government employment. And one day his teacher showed up and he liked this teacher. His teacher, he thought, liked him. His teacher showed up in class in a Nazi uniform and stuck out his arm and said, Heil Hitler. And all the boys jumped up and said, Heil Hitler. And shortly after that, he started to get beaten up in recesses. And the only other Jewish kid in the class did too, by their former friends. Fortunately, he had an aunt in Arkansas, and his parents got him and his brother out, and they went to Arkansas, finished up school there. But do not think, and I'm not being dramatic here at all, and I'm certainly nowhere near in danger of what I've just described happened to Dieter Gruen, yet instantaneously, Trump can infect people so that an idea, even a crazy idea, destroy democracy. What the What the heck? Let's sacrifice Ukraine to the Russians. Are you kidding me? That's so antithetical to Reagan Republicanism. And yet it happened like that, a snap of the finger. And the answer is that an ideology and the mover of the ideology can almost instantly affect a culture much more than you might think. Be very wary of it. Be wary of Mike Johnson as speaker. Continue to resist all of this that's happening. We go to the lines. David of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dave. What's in your mind today?
Yeah, I think your analogy to Russia and the Supreme Court is more than appropriate. As to the Supreme Court, you know, they have, I don't see how they're that different from, say, the Standing Committee in China or the Faqih and the Ayatollahs in Iran or Russia and the oligarchs, as you said. You know, all power flows from them. They allow unlimited campaign contributions. They allow voter suppression. They overturn the Civil Rights Act. They allow gerrymandering. And they took the power, or a lot of the power, of Congress to implement laws through regulation. And you can't appeal, you know, from the Supreme Court decisions. And the only check on them, just like the only check on the power of, say, the Standing Committee in China or the Faqih and the Ayatollahs, or you mentioned Putin, is legitimacy and the ability to make rulings that people will actually obey.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And it's the legitimacy, and I think that their legitimacy has been degraded. At one time, if you had looked at the polls, something like 80% of the people in this country had a high opinion of the Supreme Court. Now it's in the 40s. But there's a very, very dangerous subtext to this, and that dangerous subtext is this. We actually need a Supreme Court. We actually need federal courts who are not elected, they're appointed, who are beyond politics if they're fair and they do things that has to be done. The Supreme Court, for instance, remember Brown versus Board of Education, Baker v. Carr, one man, one vote, New York Times versus Sullivan. We need that. But when you have a corrupt Supreme Court that's bribed, that is the problem. And I take no pleasure in seeing its legitimacy degraded. They should be degraded because it's this court, but I don't like to see the court overall degraded. I don't know what the answer is. Impeachment of Thomas and Alito and Gorsuch, but you know very well the Republicans won't give the votes to do that. A grand jury for bribery, especially of the number of bribes and the amount taken by Thomas over 23 years, and I would think Gorsuch too. I don't know. I raise this issue because it's a vital issue. And thank you very much for calling in, Dave, as always. Coming to the end of the show, great show. Great callers, really great callers, as always. Stand by for another great show. Dom and Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
This is where I belong. This is my
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Love.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Trudy's doing DC, baby. The rest of the week I'll be there. You know, I got some big guests lined up.
And you'll have to tune in for those very special guests live from Washington, D.C. this Wednesday and Thursday. Catch the broadcast starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.